apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen.
It's my pleasure to invite Nelson up to bring us the word this morning.
Thanks, Ewan, for reading. Morning, church. Right, so before we continue on, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, quicken our hearts, O Lord, through your Holy Spirit, and let our ears be attentive to your word, and may our heart be ever-changing, closer to the likeness of your Son. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There's a question that everyone would have asked themselves, and the question is this: who am I? It is such a fundamental question that people have asked themselves through the ages. You may be even questioning yourself right now, sitting there and pondering. My colleague once, actually recently, during a consultation, told me he's asking himself this question: what I'm doing with my life? In actual fact, he's actually questioning himself who he is at that very moment. It is such a fundamental and existential question. Such questions are the life-driving force that steer the direction of a person's life, their way of living, their beliefs. Even those who say, I have no direction in life, well, actually they have the answer, which is, I cannot make up my mind. The question formed the basis of what the modern world calls identity. Everyone here has identities. The role within yourself, your beliefs, towards your family, your community, your vocations, and the list goes on. These identities govern and direct how you behave, how you respond in your daily interaction. Through either preconceptual or learned understanding of these identities. Now perhaps you may be asking me why I'm giving this psychological whitewashed on Sunday morning when you expect to hear the word of God. But before I continue, I want you to ask yourself this very question. What is a Christian? What is a believer of Christ? Why? Because if you don't think about this, and it's very important that the thought itself encompass your identity being a Christian, and affect your whole life, to your very being, to your family, to the people around you, down to being part of this church, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, as you sit here today. I hope I'm able to gather your reasoning mind to think together with Apostle Paul when he wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus. And the overarching theme or title is this: our identity is in Christ. Let me repeat. Our identity is in Christ. This is followed by 3 points that Paul stated, and we'll take note as we go through these verses to explain what is our identity in Christ. And they are these. Firstly, the adoption through Jesus Christ. Secondly, the redemption through Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the inheritance we obtain in Jesus Christ. So the opening of the letter to the Ephesians, the introduction, verses 1 and 2, is actually very momentous. Most of the time, we just gloss through these verses without giving it much thought. But every word counts. It's just like when the Queen of England arrived at a function, an officer would announce loud and brightly, "Her Majesty the Queen!" Why? Because that is her identity, the monarch of England. Paul's letter always start with his name, Paul, so that the reader know who he is, and the listener also know who he is. What follows is the sense of his title, but what is interesting is that it is the same in almost every letter, and it starts like that: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And he addresses his audience, whichever church or person he is writing to, in this case, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Followed by a very short benediction: grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. Have we actually asked this question? Why Paul always start his letter like that? What I think Paul would thought is this: that the thought that goes through his mind is this. Firstly, who is Paul? Who the churches he's writing to are, and who is God? And Paul basically explained himself why he do that in the following 12 verses. So we continue on the remaining verses and we'll come back to the introduction later. Verses 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Blessing means a pronouncement of good things. And we see this throughout the Old Testament between God and his people, even among the people. And the opposite of blessing is a curse. Take Genesis for example, chapter 27. When Jacob, the younger son, fraudulently asked his father to bless him instead of Esau, the elders. Jacob knew that the opposite of a blessing is a curse, because it's written, Genesis chapter 27, verse 12, "Perhaps my father will fail me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." You see, verse 3 clearly states that God the Father, instead of curse, have blessed us. Pronounce this good thing in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Not in part, not holding it back, but fully. It's just like the parable of the prodigal son that we heard again and again. When the elder son was so furious when his younger brother, who has squandered everything that he had, returned, and their father threw a big party and a feast to celebrate his return. And his father told the elder son, "Son, all that is mine is yours." The other thing you need to take note is that it's not just an earthly blessing, but a blessing that is in the heavenly place, a place that will remain forever. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20 reads, Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So in a nutshell, what this verse is saying is this. God the Father hath pronounced us good in Christ forever. All this must be put together, or else it will not make sense. And the following verse is very interesting, because what it's saying is that all this is by no accident or coincidence. Verses 4 continues. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. What this means is that if you remember from the start of Genesis, the first verses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So basically, in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, before this earth was spoken by God into existence, God the Father has chosen and blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This blessing was and is from the very beginning. And how does the blessing look like? It is through Christ and in Christ. Firstly, we are adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. Verse 5:3. In love he predestined us for adoption as son through Jesus Christ. Word for word. And adoption is not our duty. It's not being compelled, but in love. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 8 says, For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love. So this is how he showed his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, so while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. Secondly, is how does he show his love? And that is the redemption through the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of trespasses before God. And it continues on, so that all this can be united under Christ. Because verse 9 to 10 states so. Set forth in Christ as planned for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. Again, it's in Christ. Things in heaven and things on earth. Thirdly, obtaining an inheritance in Christ. Verse 11. Once again, having been predestined, set a stone before the beginning of time, and not only predestined, but guaranteed, the best guarantee you ever come across in the entire universe. Verse 13 to 14 says, again, in him also again, repeating Christ. When he heard the word of the truth, what truth this? Which is the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. Again, in Christ being repeated. Was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Well, if you get these 3 points, at this point we should be rejoicing. Maybe you'd be questioning yourself, we've made it. Give yourself a pat on the back. Well done. Floating the clouds. Kumbaya. But do we? Do we actually made it ourselves? We sinful humans are always so ready to turn away from God with every opportunity that we have. Are quick to look into ourselves as a source of solution, as a source of everything, pretty much, so full of themselves. Paul is very clear and bring us back to earth, from the clouds back to earth. Right after the introduction, he started the letter with not about us, but about God first. He said, blessed be the God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. He's very clear in terms of who gets it here. Of course, he can't be any more explicit in terms of who gets the spotlight. Ta-da! It's God. It's not us who get the spotlight. It's God who gets the spotlight. And rightly so. Every single point Paul mentioned is followed by what? According to the purpose of his will. Whose will? God's will. And praises to who? His glory. God's glory. Every step of the way, Paul is pointing back to God's intent. Even the word in Christ or in him are repeated 9 times in these 14 verses. It just tells you how important that in Christ is, and try to understand that. I think that's why Paul's greeting to the church is almost synonymous. It's like his trademark. No, not his trademark. His understanding of who God is and who he is, which make it his trademark. In Paul's introduction, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. We have the privilege to listen to David preach last week. And he declared, mentioned that Paul is a man of great knowledge and power. Before he knew Christ, he was indeed one of the greatest men in his time, spiritually. The ultimate model, everything rolled into one, no question asked. He's the stellar. He persecuted the early church, scattered them throughout the region, approved the execution of Christians, even go as far as to the high priest to gain approval to travel to the Damascus to stamp out this early saint. Yet, by the mercy of God, he was called while on the road to Damascus, blinded by a light from heaven, hearing the voice of the Lord calling out, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So for those who do not know, Paul was called Saul before this. And Paul said, trembling, who are you, Lord? The reply is beyond what Paul can take. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So Paul's letter introduction is not with great pomp or announcement, but with humble reverence. I am Paul. Amen. Apostle of Christ Jesus, I am in Christ, and it is by the will of God. Paul knew that better than anyone, not of his own doing, but God alone. As he greets to the saints in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, his mind goes through the point that we just talked about. These are my brothers and sisters who are adopted, redeemed, receive forgiveness, and have obtained an inheritance in Christ. Look to your left, look to your right, look around you. Do you see those people sitting around you as a brother, sister, who have been adopted, who have been redeemed, who have obtained together an inheritance in Christ, sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit? For those who have not believed in Christ, listen up. I hope this very word of God is very clear to you today, as clear as day, hopefully. There's no other way to be made right with God but through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ himself has redeemed and forgiven. He even said himself in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father, which is God, the Father, except through me. There's no other way except the way of Christ. In Christ alone will hope be found. Do you see the hope that we all see? I hope that your ears are open today to hear this. Come and taste and see that the Lord indeed is good. For those who have known Christ as the Lord, listen up too. We have not found God by ourselves. It's the other way around. Christ has adopted us. There's a subtle difference between this, and it's very important that we remember this. For our sinful, corrupt nature always twists this truth. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone like you and me to devour. God have adopted, redeemed, and give us an inheritance by his will and for his glory. There's nothing in us to offer God or worthy to be accepted. But in love, while we were still sinners. Amazing, isn't it? If we do not get this right, then we are no, and we are not any different from anyone in the world, still living for ourselves and still for humble adoration for the work of God that have done to adopt and redeem you and I as sons and daughters with the promised inheritance. The letter of Paul was written to the Ephesians church millenniums ago, yet still so relevant and real today. Do we, as a church, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, see ourselves in Paul's letter? Do you see yourself that your identity is in Christ and nothing else? That you are adopted, redeemed, and gain an inheritance in Christ? It should be your first and foremost identity before anything else. Before any role you play in this life, you are first and foremost in Christ alone, where your very hope is found. Can you say to yourself, as Paul said, I am a follower of Christ by the will of God. To the saints who are in Hamilton and through the earth, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I leave you all with that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again, may we gaze upon your beauty of your majesty. We thank you that you have adopted, redeemed, and given us an inheritance through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, as a church, as your follower, not to be puffed up thinking that we have done it, but you alone have done it. May we as a church be as one gospel, one heart, and one mind. Amen. So before we sing to sing one final hymn, that's one last notice that was left out earlier. That's the Tuesday Bible study, which will be a potluck at the Wendelwalds at 6 o'clock this coming Tuesday. If you want more details, you can talk more with Ryan. So let's stand together to sing the final hymn. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song.